Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 105, part 2 of Pride, part 2. Today is Sunday, July 12th, 2009. Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikrokodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy AutoShip, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures, which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
I thought to myself while I was getting ready for this, surely eating at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was a very bittersweet experience. But we love this. This little tree of mine, I'm going to let it bloom. Oh, we're just blooming. This little tree of mine, I'm going to let it bloom, huh? And the rains of afflictions come. And all of a sudden, the little flowers turn all brown and wither up and get into themselves and drop off. And all you can produce is this bitter little fruit that doesn't want to do nothing. It's in self. For God. Oh, goodness. Psalm 10 and 4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance, by the way he looks, will not seek after God. You can tell when a person is not going to seek after God by their countenance, by the way they look. Morning. They aren't going to do it. What's taken over? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Well, there we're saying that the proud boastings and the lewd blessings of the wicked have been received and evidenced against him. And now his own face confirms the accusation. And the empty closet, I believe, cries out against him. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You can open up the closet, and God hasn't been in the closet with him in his prayers. Because these proud hearts, they breed proud looks and stiff knees. Someone that's proud is not loose. They get stiff knees. Pride has a stiff neck and stiff knees and a stiff walk and a haughty look. It's a spirit. Listen to me now. This is a spirit that's going to invade. It's an arthritis of the kneecaps, and it's touching Christians all over. It's a haughty look. It's a not, I'm not going to listen. It's a, hey, I'll have it my way. And for anyone to come against that, and it's happening all over. For anyone to come against that and to even give the slightest suggestion, pride steps in. No. It's just like they're crazy. But you have to recognize that it is a spirit that we're dealing with. Now, for the most part, I don't see a lot of that here in this particular ministry. Because it's a lot of times dealt with, but it's coming on strong. It's going to affect everybody. It says seducing spirits. God is going to lose seducing spirits. All of a sudden, you're going to have it your way. You get stiff as a board. Hey, I am sick of taking orders. I think a woman should be able to go out and have a good time and just do her own thing. And you shut up. Okay? And I think guys should be able to be swingers. Well, then get up in the tree and swing back into Africa. Go back with the monkey. Say amen, somebody. I think we should be able to be swingers. Say amen. How many are hearing this today? And we're turning ourselves into animals. Look what's happening in Ireland right now. Pride. The Catholic Church against the Lutheran Church. Bombs. Man has become an animal. And the devil is making a monkey out of them. Why? Because of their pride. And pride has to have an audience, doesn't it? Has to have someone to see him strut, doesn't it? I get that way once in a while. Do you? Someone comes up and gives you a compliment. Gee, you're doing a great job. Well, do everything but pat myself on the back. As long as you didn't do it, I thought I would. Thank you. But it goes deeper than that. It goes deeper. It's a spirit of rebellion when you can't take orders, when the pastor doesn't mean a thing anymore. What he has to say doesn't mean... Now, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about pastors all over the world are going to become against, and there's going to be a spirit of rebellion in churches like you've never seen before, and people are going to look for a vent for pride and for self. Some have come out of it even right now. There are people that are going in. There are people that have been through it, and they've come out, and they understand what I'm talking about. There are people that won't understand what I'm talking about because they're going into it, and pride won't let them understand that. How many hearing this? See, the arrangement is that the heart is often written on our countenance. What's ever in our heart is on our face. It's like it's got a control system in there. And the face shows it. And so it's in our heart. And it gets on our face. Have you ever been looked real dejected and someone comes in and says, what's wrong with you? Oh, nothing. And you almost hurt your face smiling? Because there's another, there's the real action down in here in the subconscious saying, ooh, ee, ooh, ee, ah. It's the way God makes us. When we're happy, it shows. When we're free, it shows. When we're not free, it shows. We're bound up. When we're mad, it shows. Huh? Well, that's a spirit, my God. But it all stems back to pride. You didn't get your way. So pride stands up. You're not telling me nothing! Get it? It's all pride. Isn't that right? Just as the motion of the wheels of the clock find the record on its face. You can tell where the clock is, I'm saying. You can tell where the face is at, too. You can tell what time it is on the face. What a dilemma, you say. God, you're talking about me. I'm talking about people. The Greeks, way back, they used to, when they had a man at trial, they'd put him in the dark because they said, well, if they put him up front, they'll know by his face. They'll call him guilty by the look on his face. Thought that was pretty wise. They knew that the face would give him away. But then they had a different set of morals then, too. The morals were high, and you could tell what was on there. There was no phoniness there. You can learn a lot from the muscles of a person's face, much more than you can their lips. When they're tired, you can tell when they're tired. Their face is all hanging. And they go, whew. Oh, and every bone is just tired. Oh, now I'm not talking about sluggards. Now listen, don't use this for an excuse. No, that's right. You know how tired. This is a disease. You must pray for a release to get up out of that bed. It's almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You're listening to this program. But you can tell when a person's tired because it registers on their whole body. But you can tell when they're rested also. When they're free, they're on their toes. Aren't they? They're on their toes and they're free. It all registers in our body. And that's why the body gets sick a lot of times, because we're registering those things that are inside. Yeah. The pride of the wicked is the principal reason why they will not seek after the knowledge of God. Why? Because they think God is undesirable. Pride has exalted an opinion of itself. And therefore, it's very impatient of any rival. It hates a superior over them. And it can't endure a master. And I believe in the proportion as it prevails in the heart, it makes us wish to see nothing above us. And then pride starts to exalt itself above God. Doesn't want to follow any rule but our own inclinations. To acknowledge no law but our own wills. That's the way Satan was led, wasn't it? That's the way our first parents had. They had a desire to be as gods. But let me close with this. Since such are the effects, pride, It's evident that nothing can be more painful to the proud heart than the thoughts of a being such as God. The proud heart does not want to believe there is a God, one who is infinitely powerful, one who is just and holy, one who can neither be resisted or deceived or deluded, who disposes according to his own sovereign pleasure of all the creatures and all of the events. A God who hates pride, a God who will punish it. So pride must look upon God as a natural enemy. And Psalm 10 and 5 says, his ways are grievous, thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. Grievous or troublesome. That means all of his endeavors and all of his actions aim at nothing but hurting others. There are people like that, you know. There are people like that that sit in churches all over the world. Grievous or troublesome. And everything they do is aimed at hurting someone else. And it says, thy judgments are far above, out of his sight, because that God doesn't give immediate judgment on everything he does. He doesn't think God even hears or even sees what he's doing. And then I must say something here. When we're too elevated, and when God's thoughts are too elevated for human wisdom or for human reason, we start to lean on our own understanding. When I talked about seducing spirits, loosed, people don't want to hear that. But it's Bible. They got in the back or somewhere in their subconscious that we just won't claim that, we won't say it because we'll cause it to happen. No, the Bible says it is happening. The Bible gives a warning that it has already come upon us. All the signs are here. There's no more claiming it away what God has prophesied. When the separation comes, and there's a separation coming, it's coming right down the line right now, when the sheep and the goats go their own side, there'll be a line drawn as surely as if I take a piece of chalk and go right up this aisle. There'll be the sheep on one side and there'll be the goats on the other. It's here. It's here right now. And you'll know the person by their fruits, the Bible says. Well, what can we do? Trust in God and see Jesus only during this terrible time. Because the Bible said God will send a strong delusion. God will send it. And even almost the elect will be fooled. And so at this time, let's look at number 5. You can divide yourself. You can be a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde. You can serve two masters and get the most out of both of them. You can go to church on a Sunday morning and you can howl on a Sunday night. You remember that werewolf shows they used to have years ago where the man's changed, his face changed when the full moon came up? And they had this little woman said, "This is my son. When the moon is full, the werewolves come out at night." And he was such a nice person. And he tried to be such a good person. He was such a great guy, Lon Chaney. Oh, you felt so sorry for him, you know what I mean? But that old werewolf was inside, wasn't it? Then they had this music, da 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 da, and the fangs and the hair and everything like that. And that's kind of like we can get when we get full of that pride. We turn into a monster. And we only go so long. But when the moon is full, see, we go for like a 28 or whatever the cycle of the full moon is, 28 days or something like, I don't know. I'm not into that. But whenever the moon is full, then the moon is full, you see, and the mother made excuses for the werewolf son. It turns into the werewolf, huh? And how many times I have seen Christians turn into wolves. Then the moon is full. It's the truth, isn't it? Have you ever become a werewolf? I have. I can feel it coming on. About the middle of the month, you'd see this guy in these shows, he would start to get real nervous, you know. And he'd be tossed in his bed, but nothing would happen. No real manifestation, but as he got closer and closer and closer, you see it started to wear off and the Adam started to show. The tolerance. Maybe they could give him a shot and make him go for an extra month, you know, be human for a month more. But it always came out. And there we are with the great big teeth and the great big hair all over and the little beady eyes looking out. You ever seen a Christian turn into a werewolf? No, that's kind of funny, but it's really the truth. But it can happen to anybody. Don't think you're all by yourself. It can happen to, it comes from a spirit of pride. You can turn into a monster. Well, I don't think I'm going to have no more messages on this pride thing. It just slays people too much. You might even have a nightmare. But lastly, glory to God, you can dedicate yourself. Oh, hallelujah! That's the answer, for it fulfills, oh, hallelujah, the first law of our being, lose your life to gain it. right now today, you listening on the radio to this tape, you out there, dedicate yourself to the cause of Christ and stop being miserable by trying to satisfy your werewolf self. It can't be done. And remember this, we must understand. I say it again, we must understand. A dedicated person to the Lord must not run at every trial. When God's children prosper one way, they are generally tried another, for few of us, I believe, can bear unmingled prosperity. There's got to be a balance. You give a kid too much candy, he's going to get sick. But even the joys of hope need to be mixed with the pains of experience. Experiences are painful. But it gives you hope when you have the experience to go through a thing. A little kid learning how to go down the stairs, he looks at the stairs, and he's seen his mom and dad go down, and he sees them. He looks at them, you know, and they're going down the stairs. And whistling in there, I think nothing of it, see? And the little kid looks at him, see? And so he goes all the way down the stairs. It was painful, but he had the experience and the pain of the experience, and then he learned and he started. Oh, no, you don't. I'll conquer you. And he crawls down backwards. And he gets down there, and then he looks up at you when you're at the top of stairs and goes, huh? But he's not content with that. It gives him hope that he made it to the bottom. And so he tries it again. He makes it down one stair, and he goes all the way down him again. Now he does it a little different. You watch these kids. He'll scoot down like this because he sees his mom and dad go down forward. So he'll go on his rump. Boom, 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 boom. But it gives him hope. He made it to the bottom. Now he starts going up the stairs. Well, now that's a little easier for him. Are you hearing this today? And so up the stairs he goes. But it gives him hope. And if we don't have those painful experiences, we never have any hope because we never learn how to overcome. So don't freak out at every little trial. Every little thing that comes on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. Because yes, our dedication in the end will have to be without, why God, why? When you're in a war and the enemy is there and says, all right, set your watches at 0-1200, we're going to advance. And way down at the end, and you're supposed to, everybody's quiet. They're on operation, shh. And some dummy down at the end says, Sarge, Sarge, Sarge. And the guy next to him said, shut up. Do you realize we're in enemy territory? And then the guy starts arguing back and forth. This guy is not ready for battle. He's not ready to obey. He thinks he's got a better idea. You understand? He thinks that Private Knucklehead has a better idea. And what they have to do to Private Knucklehead is knock him out. I'm not kidding you. They'll go up, down the trench, or wherever they're at, and they'll knock that guy out. Go knock him in the head. I think sometimes we need to be knocked in the head. Every little trial, every little warfare we go through, we have to question it. Why, Sarge? Why, God? Just obey the Word of God. Don't ask why, ask how. Lord, how do you want me to do this thing? How do you want me to do it? Not why. So many people are asking, but why? Here it is. Think of this today. What of myself have I kept for myself? My time, my energy, my devotion, my love, my troubles. And then I'm thinking this. Why take an inventory of yourself? Don't just give your problems to God. Give yourself to God, and that'll solve the problem. You want to give yourself to God? All of you? Every little smidge? That'll take care of all your... Oh, I think I'm going to give more time to God. Okay, now, has anyone got a testimony?
I think I'm going to give more, after today's message, I'm going to give more time to God.
The next one.
I think that I could take my energy and put it into better uses and, you know, playing ping pong and stuff. And, I'm going to be more devoted to God. I'm giving so much time to my wife and so on like that, and I think I should divide a little bit more up onto God's side.
Why not give yourself to God with all of the problems that are in you? No one else wants you, really. God will accept you. Really, they don't want you. A lot of times people are so anxious to get married, you know what I mean? And I say, do you realize that you're gonna marry all these problems? But I gotta have her. I knew it was love at first sight. And all these songs they have across a crowded room? Baloney. Baloney. Well, I gotta have him. You're marrying a lot of problems. First of all, I think people should give themselves to God wholly and entirely, and then they are safe to marry. If they haven't given themselves over totally and entirely to God, they are dangerous and don't do it. And the guy says, well, I'm going to marry this girl, but we don't, she is just so great. She's a Christian and she loves the Lord, but we disagree on doctrinal, we have doctrinal hang-ups. I says, don't get married. Well, they're very, very slight. And I says, if she can't give up a very, very slight doctrine, it shows me she has a lot of pride. Don't do it. Please. Will you counsel about us for a while? I said, no. Will you talk to us? I said, no. There's nothing to talk about. And you tell this girl, and you tell yourself, when you totally both give yourselves to God, then come on in, because I don't want to monkey with you. You have to give yourself over to the Lord. That's what I'll tell you when you come in. That's lesson number one. Counseling session number one. Give yourself to God. Because see, you belong to God. You don't belong to what I say. You know, they'll go ahead and get married anyway. Yeah. Oh, they will. And you'll see them going down this street. Sprinkle, submersion, sprinkle, submersion, sprinkle, submersion. You don't believe that? And they'll go on the rest of their spiritual walk arguing over doctrines on how to preach and how to teach and, my God, on and on and on. Is it the truth? It is the truth. All they do is dedicate their problems to one another. Why don't we today, you listening on the radio tape, you people sitting here, dedicate your temple daily and let it be filled with the presence of the Lord, and His glory filled the temple. Get self out of there so God's glory can move in. Okay, I'm going to do it. Do it daily. Every day you have to do it. Every day. It'll cut out all the arguing and all the bitterness and all the rivalry and all. Because you're not there. You've given yourself to God. Huh? Why don't we just give ourselves to God today? Just turn ourselves around. Huh? You got to have a little bit of humor in these messages because it just actually kills people. Is there anyone in here today that hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ? Anybody? Anybody? That hasn't accepted Jesus as their personal Savior? Do it today. The return of Jesus Christ is right around the corner. New York Times has bold print right now. There's 3-inch print. And it says on the print, Jesus Christ returns. Yeah. It's all ready to go. Have you received Jesus as your personal Savior? Have you received Jesus, young man? Okay, I don't know you. I'm going to ask. I don't want to miss anybody. Brother, have you received Jesus yet? Okay. Well, hi. I didn't recognize you there. You didn't go fishing today, did you? Is there anyone right now that would just give, I want 2 30-second comments for the radio audience on something off this self-message, that pride or whatever, to encourage them that maybe you've learned. Just 2 quick testimonies. Anything? Jan?
Remember a time that you and I went up to that park, and in the very beginning, the Lord showed me a sign. It said, pride runs deep. But He was giving me a revelation about myself. And I thought that I had grown in some kind of love, you know, attributing it to God's love. But the Lord was saying I was taking pride in it, and I had to give all things over to Him to gain the more of Him. Because anything we count to have for ourselves, then we are limiting His provision that He wants to give to us the more. So He is unlimited. And we limit ourselves. So got to give anything that we have over so He can give us the more of Him, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm, great. Okay. Anybody else? All right, up here. Okay.
You're talking about, I can tell people with pride because they're all stiff and everything. Well, I woke up this morning with a very stiff neck, and my whole neck here was burning. Mm-hmm. And during this message, it was just gone. And that's the way God takes away His pride. Just gone. Just you let Him.
That's a good example of that, because I was on stage, and I had ruptured myself. This was Friday night. And I can feel the scar of the healing in there. There's this, like, you know when you weld something? Well, it's like a weld mark inside there, but it isn't bulged. And I got on stage and I started to preach, and all of a sudden I said, I had to stop now, because I says I just got healed. That happened one other time to me, but I had jerked it with, it was a few hundred pounds, and I shouldn't have done. And it was a big bulge there. But now, praise the Lord. Isn't that great? So if you're till a tea.